Good morning. This is Rob Knapp. Who's on, please?
Rhett Merchant and Tracy Hudson.
Hi, Rhett. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Good, good. I have to apologize for being a little late. I'm right now. I got to get myself to a place where I can talk. Okay. Kind of a. All right. So, tell me about your. What I do usually on these calls is first start out by asking what's on your mind. Let's start on that.
Okay. My, call it biggest goals for my book. I'd obviously like to get more clients and referrals and time management. Those are my toughest skills. I have a special needs son, and I need help with the time management because it seems to be I have daily occurrences that just seem to blow up my schedule, and if I'm being perfectly honest, I'm not really good with it to begin with, if that makes sense.
Yep.
And I'd like those things to gear so I could double my business within the next 3 to 4 years.
Okay. Tell me about your team.
It is. I'm a solo with Tracy Hudson, who's here. She's my CA.
Okay. Tracy, hi. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. What are your concerns about Supernova?
Tracy's or mine?
So I'll start with Tracy's.
Okay.
I don't think there's many concerns. I also work with another team, so I guess it's the time that I will have to split between the team that I work with and Rhett.
Okay. That's not usually a problem if we do this right. We just have to make it so that your business is, you know, we simplify the business enough that you can manage both. Because what will happen is you'll get really, really well organized with Rhett, but then the other will still be chaotic unless they do Supernova. And so it actually will be better for you, but you won't be able to, you know, instead of it, what we do is we sort of transition from being an ER where everything is an emergency to an operating room where everything is scheduled and you're prepared for the operation and everybody. So mixing the two can cause some challenges. You just have to be patient with the other team and organize yourself well enough to let them know that, you know, this is what's going on here. And, you know, you can't be dumping something on my desk in the middle of when I'm trying to organize, you know, when I'm executing on our plan.
So, it shouldn't be, I don't think she'll have too much of a, her other team is the branch manager. And he's
okay, so
on board with me doing this thoroughly.
Awesome. That's great. That's great. Okay. Okay, so just to give you guys a sense of what will happen, you've read the book, I assume, and
yes,
you're on the conference call, and so you've heard the Supernova outline. What questions do you have on the structure of the process?
I noticed that there were white papers and scripts and that kind of stuff. To help me transition my current clients and make them aware of the expectations that they should have on me going forward. I was a little concerned about blowback from that. You addressed it in the videos, though. The blowback being, well, we haven't needed this in the past. Why are we going to need it now?
Right.
You said that that's more of a fear of the advisor rather than a fear of the client.
Right.
That doesn't
in reality,
actually occur that way.
I call that a yellow light. Okay, that's a yellow light either for the advisor. Not a red light, it's just a yellow light. It's a caution. I'm not sure what's going to happen as the advisor. I don't know how my clients are going to react. And that we dissipate by actually getting into the process. And the clients are, you know, typically very delighted to spend more time with you. They want your time. They value your time. And you're going to give them their time. So that becomes a real plus for them. When we hear it from the client, it's yellow light in the sense that either – And either we haven't explained it properly to them. They don't see the value in what we're delivering.
They'll see the value in the quarterly reviews. I have a feeling they're going to be perplexed about the monthly contacts. You know, the scheduled monthly contact.
Right. And that's because here's the reality, because you'll be a little perplexed by that until you see what happens and why it's important. The quarterly becomes less and less important. The annual becomes less and less important, and it's more of a flow rather than it being a big deal to do an annual review. It becomes less. They know where they are pretty much all the time, and they see the value in what you're doing. So the idea is if you're doing financial planning properly, financial planning isn't an event. It's a process that goes on from the time you engage the client till they leave or you die or whatever.
Are you familiar with our goals planning system here at Morgan Stanley?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. So the idea is that we will introduce topics which will be of interest to them, and they will open up to you on topics that they've never shared with you before.
And those are in the scripts and the talking points within the
Right. We give you a sample 24-month calendar of agendas or topics that will be, the clients typically are interested in. Now, you can substitute clearly for whatever you want and create your own agendas and your own monthly calendar. But we give you that. We talk to you. You know, you'll get more and more and more comfortable with the process. There's always clients that are going to push back on anything. But that's part of also the process of determining, you know, who are really customers, who are clients, who are advocates, and who are ambassadors. And the idea over time is we want everybody to be a raving fan, everybody to be an ambassador, telling your story and bringing in other people like them to you. But until they get it, which is an educational process, like your educational process, they're going to not necessarily be skeptical, they're just going to want to experience it. And so what we tell clients that are a little, quote, skeptical or reticent to, you know, fully engage, we just tell them to try it, you know. Try it for 6 months, try it for a year, and if you're not satisfied, we can adjust. But the idea is once they get engaged and they realize you're not selling them something every time you talk to them or whatever their brain is saying to them, they realize that you're there to help them, to be of value to them, they'll value it and be excited to engage with you. So that's part of the process. There's in anything we do that's new and we're learning, I call it it's a five-step process, and you have to be patient with it. As a person training them, and I have to be patient with you because you're not going to be an enthusiastic supernova supporter day one. It just doesn't happen. So it's curiosity, interest, knowledge, belief, enthusiasm. So you start out curious enough to take a phone call or hear the story, you develop an interest, say, you know, that might be really good for me. You start to read the books and listen to a conference call, watch the videos, and now you're enhancing your knowledge. Once you've engaged the clients and gone through the process, then you get to the belief stage. And once you're past the belief stage, you are then open yourself up to becoming enthusiastic about it. And this happens on any product or service or anything that you're teaching, training, selling to others and are being sold to you. So you know yourself, you know, sometimes you go through the process and you never get to belief or enthusiasm or, you know, any of the further stages because the product disappoints you or, you know, something doesn't happen. So, you know, I don't expect you to jump from curiosity to enthusiasm. I expect this will take, you know, some time for you to go through the process of learning and hearing and testing. And so we'll get right engaged. We want to talk to clients about it as soon as possible because there's no better way to sell you on this process than to have you engage the client and the client says, wow, that sounds wonderful. How are you able to do that? And you simply say, because I'm limiting myself to 100 or less clients. So it just, you know, it takes some time. Now, the way we do this now is you've clearly seen that we do the video and use the workbook. And now we have two more books that we can use for both education, training, and reference. So we have
gotten the did we get the workbook already?
Yes, you should have gotten that in a in an email attachment, which you then go ahead and print out.
Let me see if I can see it. I have a Supernova coaching guide and a Supernova pre-planning worksheet. Okay.
Yep.
All right. Okay.
So the coaching guide, and then if you haven't done the pre-planning worksheet, go ahead and do that and send that to me.
Okay.
I'm traveling today, so I'm a little bit out of pocket here, but so yeah, that and what you do is you watch the video. Read the workbook, which is only each chapter is only a few pages. They'll ask you to do some homework, which we'll cover in, you know, in each session what the homework will be for the next session. And then prepare to do that. And then I come on to answer questions, work on your scripts, help you with wording, deal with any objections or issues that you have, and so forth. So if, you know, the more you do your homework and learn the material, the better off, you know, the better you'll adapt to it, the more success we'll have overall. One of the things that I recommend is you and Tracy get together 15 minutes before each call and just go through the homework and make sure you guys are on the same page. And then 15 minutes after the call, for 15 minutes after the call, get together and just discuss what it is that you're going to have to do for the next session. Typically, when I have teams, I have them meet midweek and make sure that everybody's done what they're said that they do. And then, again, meet 15 minutes before the call. It's just an accountability tool to make sure that you're not coming on the call going, I'm sorry, we just were too busy this week to get anything done. And then we hold up the process.
Okay.
If you put the work in, you'll get the results. You just have to, put in the work. Like any, you know, if you're getting your CIMA or your CFA or any designation that you're going to get, you got to put the work in. And it's the same with this. This is kind of like a, well, you know, CFA for service.
Okay.
And it takes that kind of commitment. And once you've done it, you're done. You don't have to relearn it, you know, re-understand it. You're going to get it, and you'll use Supernova forever. And that's the advantage of putting in an intense 3 months and then a year of follow-up, or okay, 9 more months of follow-up. And the benefits are as good as, you know, as good as advertised. We've never had anybody that said, you know, I'm unhappy I did this, or I am doing less business, or any real blowback. They, once they become Supernova FA, they just really, you know, gain the benefits of that forever.
All right.
So as you know, the basic premise is, you know, we get smaller to get bigger. We focus on what matters most versus what matters least. We you know, we stop servicing clients that aren't paying us, and we focus on duplicating our best clients. So the top 20% of our clients that give us 80% of the business, that's who we're interested in helping. And
expanding.
Yeah, expanding, right. We duplicate them.
Talking with my manager about my business, he said and we kind of walked through it, my strengths seem to be retaining clients, and their next generation of clients. He agreed that I need to work on my time management skills, and he'd like to see, obviously like to see my business go up substantially in the next year or two as well.
Right.
So I think that's the bulk of my business is fee-based, so this fits in very well with that, the 12-4-2. So I'm beyond the curiosity stage. I'm at least halfway through the interest stage, if that helps you where I am. I think
good.
It's something that I'm kind of excited about doing it, actually. So
good, good.
Tracy,
yeah,
left
sound
so.
Like, well, this is, you know, this appears to be pretty disruptive for Tracy, but the advantage, Tracy, is that you will not be running an ER anymore. You know, there won't be any interruptions. There's no more phone tag. So many of the insidious thieves of time that we deal with, the last-minute customer coming in or calling in, or it just doesn't happen because you train the clients that this is an operating room, and these are your times, and these are your responsibilities, and we ask that you do them and you comply with it. So that works for everybody. So your life becomes much more predictable. It doesn't mean that you're going to have no more problems in terms of, you know, life and the practice. It's just that you're going to be prepared for most of them and deal with them efficiently and effectively. So the CAs that I know, CFAs that I work with, really love Supernova even more than the FAs because their life is organized. Now, if you don't, you know, get your practice down to its core and you carry too many clients, then it's, you know, then it's not good because you need to be able to focus on those best clients, and then everything works for everybody. But if you try and have, you know, have a foot in each bucket, then it becomes really hard on everybody. So, you know, the sooner we can get down to less than 100 clients, the better. So the homework for the first week is to establish your absolute minimum and your target minimum and your absolute maximum number of clients and then the target number of clients. So
absolute minimum asset balance, I'm assuming, is what you're talking about?
Assets and revenues, yeah. And there's, you know, there's more than that in terms of screens to determine who your best clients. Profitability, you know, referability, et cetera, nice people, et cetera. So that's part of who you determine, you know, is going to be in your top clients. And then...
So absolute minimum and target minimum.
Minimum.
For assets
right.
and revenue, and an absolute maximum number of clients and target number of clients.
Right. So you may say, okay, my target is 90 clients. You know, I have 120, so my maximum, I'm not going to bring anybody else in, and I'll gradually get rid of those 20 over time, or however you want to do it. You want to get
and
get
you
rid
do
of
it
them
in
right
such
away,
a way that you're not firing them per se. You're
transferring
them or working with another advisor to handle those clients.
That's right.
Okay. But they're still going to get the same 12-4-2, hopefully, from the new guy, right?
Yeah. Especially as time goes on. We call that the stair step to the stars, where you have a group of advisors that are all doing Supernova, and you just have different minimums and pass the clients down, and they get the same experience. They're just getting it from a different person. So that's the ideal world.
Okay.
Now, determining your minimums, absolute minimums, is fairly easy. We just simply take the average of the total revenues divided by the total number of accounts, and that's your average, and that becomes your absolute minimum, with the thinking that you don't want to really bring in anybody that is going to dilute your practice and make it smaller. You want to bring them in, at least they're bigger than your average size client. And then your target minimum is the top 20% of your practice that gives you 80% of your revenues.
Okay.
Okay, so if typically you're doing $1 million of revenues and production credits, then your average client, you know, with 100 is $10,000 in PCs or $1 million of assets. And in that case, the typical FA's absolute minimum would be $1 million. Their target minimum, typically the 20% that give them 80% of their revenues, would be $2.5 million. So that kind of gives you a ballpark. Now, we use the $2.5 million to advertise. That's what we advertise to the world, that where our minimum is. But if somebody says, well, I know your minimum's 2.5, but I've got a guy with $1.5 million, will you take him? And you go, yes, that's larger than my absolute minimum. But you understand that we only have so much.
How does it, when you make an announcement like that, because do you ever, for lack of a better word, alienate somebody with 200 or with $1.5 million that just says, well, I can't work with him, or he won't want to work with me, so he's not even in the conversation? Or is
it kind of works the other way. It's, you know, it's kind of like if you're a member of Augusta and you say, here's the requirements to be in Augusta. They never tell you. They just invite you because you've achieved. But people want to join whatever club it is that they can't get in. And the higher your minimums, the more attractive you are, and the more successful people think you are. It's kind of weird. It works different than the way we would think. And you don't do it, and you don't advertise it as you know, that's our minimum because we're hotty-totty or something. It's, you do it because, you know, the maximum number of clients that we physically can serve is 100, and at this point, that number is 2.5 million. So, you know, it might change. It will change. If you go to a concierge physician and you ask him, how much does it join, you know, take to have him take care of you, he'll tell you it's $5,000 or $10,000 or whatever it is. And he only has, you know, 100 or 200 patients. And you get this great experience. But, you know, if you ask him, will you take the account for $2,500, he would say, no. Are my minimum 5,000. And you can understand that, right? You just say, okay, I get it. And that's the way you become a concierge financial advisor. People get it. They know that it's more customized, more personalized. It's for them. It's not cookie cutter. It's very customized for them and very, you know, people say, well, it sounds a little cookie cutter, 12-4-2. I said, well, that got to understand, that's the minimum. In reality, when we do agendas and we do executive summaries, we're really contacting the client more like 48 times a year. That may not be all by phone.
If you're scheduling 1 month, I mean, you're not going to be able to schedule a call with a recommendation about a change in our opinion about a stock or, you know, that's...
No, that's right.
This is all in addition to those, let's say...
Yes.
I don't know what you want to call it. Business isn't the right word, but, you know, activity that
right.
for the client that they have to do something.
Yeah. Right. Now, you can anticipate, you know, bonds coming due and money coming due and things like that so they can be part of your monthly call. But if you've got an emergency situation and you're managing part of the money for them and you got to sell IBM, then you call them and sell it, you know.
Gotcha.
Okay.
That's not the scheduled call that we're talking about.
Then. No. And that somebody says, well, I called him. I said, no, this isn't punching a card. This is a call with an agenda where you're really trying to accomplish something. You're moving the financial planning process forward. You know, you're developing your relationship with the client. You're being of value to them. Okay.
Yeah.
So
okay.
We'll try and keep the calls to about, you know, half an hour. So, you know, you're not going to be stuck on the phone any longer than that. And
okay, so the whole process weekly should be about an hour because we're going to be here 15 minutes beforehand
right.
and 15 minutes after. Okay, all
right.
Right. Give or take.
So just
okay.
for your planning.
All right.
Okay?
Yep.
Terrific.
Thank you, Robert.
Well, thanks for signing up. We look forward to working with you.
All right.
Thanks an awful lot. Thanks, Tracy. Okay, thanks, Robert.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.